Hey, everybody. We're back. Star Wars Year By podcast, where me and my buddy Steele, it's a bit of a Star Wars history podcast where we go through the Star Wars Year By Year book updated and expanded edition. It's been a little while since we've done one of these.
Which led to an array of errors for me this morning. But we'll go into that, or this afternoon, I should say.
And, we're both busy guys. We've been trying to hit the content a little more, so we got one of these scheduled. Currently, we are going to be wrapping up the year 1985. One of my favorite weird periods of Star Wars history is the time in between, say, you know, the end, like Return of the Jedi, and when the EU stuff sort of kicks off and Star Wars sort of slowly starts ramping back up.
The dark times.
Mm-hmm.
How Tool fan of you.
Well, I just think I like it because so much weird stuff happened, right? Like
yeah. So it has been a while since we've done one of these. This is episode 30, Hordes.
Ooh, divided by three.
Divided by three. So normally it's on our Patreon, but we put every third episode up on our main feeds. So, the best case scenario is that someone listens to this and goes, hey, I want to go back and experience the previous all those years of Star Wars, 29 other episodes. So that's the best case scenario. You can watch it on YouTube as well. Click the link. pardon me. So, because we've been doing the Mando reviews and all that sort of stuff, so that sort of was taken up our dual podcast time for the week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, between the last one we did and today, there was Obi-Wan, there was Andor, there was Mando. Yeah, I mean, like, you got to think there's so much stuff that's gone on since the last time we did one of these. So,
wow, so many Star Wars emotions.
Yeah.
Wait, we haven't done one since Obi-Wan?
I don't think so. I think it was right before Obi-Wan, before Celebration last year that we did one.
Wow, so this is the first one where you know the truth.
Yeah, it sure is. I'm still waiting for that video that you shot of me calling you when I found out.
Oh, yeah, I've got to get, yeah, that's, I hope over the next couple of months I can, because I've got all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
From all the filming days on Obi-Wan, not on the set, but just before and after.
Right. And that first one you did was real good.
Oh, cheers. Thanks. Check that out on the YouTube. But so it has been a while, obviously. And so I look it up on my, podcast feed and I just, you just search Year By. So it will come up with the last one. Episode 29, 1985.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, and it was the mid. So I'm like, okay, so it's the last month. It's December of 1985. So I get the book out. And what I do is I take photos of news articles we can talk about. So it comes up on the YouTube. And I'm going through and I'm like trying to work out what to take photos of. And I'm like, there's a lot of articles on this page. A lot of stuff happening at the end of 85. It's like Empire's End comic book came out, and there's an Energizer Bunny Duracell commercial, and this Young Jedi Academy book was out, and Kenner toys were being reproduced.
That ain't the right year.
It was the end of 1995.
Oh, I can't wait to get to 1995. That's a good period too. But
so I've been all over the place in the DeLorean today. Oh, good. There's a lot happening. Like, and this on out this page, I'll whack it up for everyone to look at it. But this book, you know, it's like a book size, like bigger than A4 or whatever, you know, whatever your paper. Why has that gone to the, wait there. That's better. StreamYard's got a few new features. It's looking great, you guys. But so this, the books, you know, it's like, you know, that book size, bigger than A4 book size. And on this spread that we're about to do, they've split it into two columns per page. So on the spread, there's four columns. So because, like, there's big pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Up in 95.
It's chock full because there's a lot going on.
Dude, it's four columns per page.
Oh, my God.
And the photos are so small. So I was like, I don't know how the end of 85 is going to turn into a double episode, but there's a lot of articles here. So this is how sad it is, how slow it is in 85, is that we're talking about how many news articles there are 10 years in the future. That's how slow it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of, I mean, there's some stuff on here I'm a fan of, and there is some cool stuff going on, but it's the dead period, man. Like I said, you know, there's going to be some lean years until the early 90s, but it's also something I'm really excited to look into because of some of the weird stuff they have to put in there to fill out the years.
All right. Do you want to hit us with the first one, Hawes?
Yes, I do. Marvel Comics in October 1985. Marvel Comics Star Wars series hits a centennial milestone with issue number 100. The story, First Strike, involves an attack on the rebel base on the forest moon of Endor by a new threat, the extragalactic invaders known as the Nagai.
Ooh.
Still going on. Still kicking 2 years after Jedi. So I guess they just moved. Like, after Return of the Jedi, they were like, yeah, we just live here now on Endor. This is our place. The locals are cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, for the Ewoks, it's just, like, just another bunch of humans setting up shop with their spaceships. What's up with that? And also, like, all the Imperial stuff would have been blown up. So there's already a lot of wreckage. Yeah. Like, on their tranquil forest moon. And then old gentrification Skywalker.
I gotta say, that's a pretty good cover, though. That's a pretty cool cover for the 100th episode. Or 100th issue.
It's such a good cover that I was going to bring it up as well.
Oh, yeah.
The way it's sort of like that washed out watercolor. I don't know that much about art, but because it doesn't crave detail, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Less to get wrong.
Like, sort of the planet, I guess that's a planet, or just the sphere in the background, and how the Millennium Falcon and the other ships are sort of following the shape of that. Like, it sort of leads your eye around the cover just to notice all the cool details. Like,
yeah, I thought it was Endor.
I think it probably is.
Because down near Luke's chin, there looks like there's a massive land.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. Some interceptors, a Y-wing.
It's nice to see on some of this 80s art a Millennium Falcon that's scaled like the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm. And not the Kenner Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, rip a cover. Special double-sized 100th issue, by the way, Hawes.
R2's little head is poking up over Han's head, I just noticed. Look at him, he's just peeking over.
We do have to reference, who's this bad guy here? He's the head of the Nagai. And he's rocking out. He looks like, is it Khan in Star Trek 2?
You just nailed it. I was looking at him trying to figure out what he looked like, and it's Khan.
With like an Andy Warhol wig and
an eye patch.
Yeah, but it sort of just looks like a leather strap with a police badge over his eye. So quite the character. And this is after I know that guy's quite famous, but he played, because Wrath of Khan, that was like, so like 79 or 81 or something like that.
I feel like it was between Empire and Jedi. So I think 81 is great. And that was Ricardo Montalban, by the way, that played Khan.
Now, a bit of disrespect here in the captioning halls. I'm not sure if you picked up on this, but at the bottom of this page, did we say what page we're on, by the way?
126 for all the sickos like Catherine Neen that want to follow along.
Woo, shout out sickos. A true sicko wouldn't need to be told what page it was.
That's true.
So down the bottom, how this, I got to say, StreamYard, which I use, Hawes, this new layout deal, it's a visual delight.
Yeah, it's nice.
The pinks, the vibrant pinks.
Buddy, when I looked down at my book and then looked up and I saw the little image of me as R2-D2 and I was like, what is that? Oh, like I thought it was part of the book for a second.
Thumbnail. Or no, it's not a thumbnail. It's a watermark.
Yeah, watermark.
Yeah, yeah. But there's this image of... what is these... are they like robots?
Yeah.
The Nagai? Or are they men in suits?
Are they? No, they're macabre.
No. They're in suits because you look at their hands and there's like, they got fingernails.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh. Weird.
Yeah, but anyway, so one of these Nagai, they're all suited up in their battle armor, and they're a lot bigger than a human, and they've got two Zeltrons by the throat, almost like Kane or the Undertaker, you know, about to do some double choke slamming. And the caption reads, Hawes, two Zeltrons have second thoughts about aiding the Rebel Alliance. Now, I don't think that Star Wars Year by Year, Pablo Hidalgo expanding, needs to expand so far to speak for the Zeltrons, who in defending the galaxy might be like going, we have honored our people. With this noble sacrifice.
I see what you're saying. I have a question. The hell is Luke wearing, man? That orange getup? Whew. He had some questionable fashion choices post Return of the Jedi. Also, that saber's blue.
Hey. With great freedom comes great vigilance.
He's like, I want to become the guy that wears an orange jumpsuit everywhere.
Well, maybe it's a marketing thing. And he's like, well, that X-Wing suit, that sold pretty well at retail. And those Bespin fatigues, pretty dope.
Let's combine.
Let's get it. Why don't we get an orange nylon Bespin fatigues? I always felt like Bespin fatigues was the most wearable of the
Right? Yeah. The jacket looks comfy. You know, the pants, they look kind of standard pants. That Return of the Jedi suit looks very slick. I don't know that I would be comfortable in it.
See, the only thing with Bespin fatigues, it's a bit double denim with the whole matching deal. And then I'm like, well, you could just take off the jacket and you're rocking cargo pants. But then, to our knowledge, all he's got on underneath there is a tank top. And that's a no-go.
Yeah.
I doth not. Yeah, so anyway, Zeltrons, don't speak for him.
Yeah, give him a little more credit.
I can't believe I got the short straw for this next one, because it's a wild caption.
You want me to take care of it for you, buddy?
No, I'll give it a bash.
Okay.
Mishima, October 4th. Mishima, A Life in Four Chapters, produced by George Lucas and Francis Ford Coppola, is released. Directed by Paul Schrader, it tells the story of famed Japanese writer Yukio Mishima, who committed a ritual seppuku suicide in 1970. Mishima's suicide is suggested through the imagery of blood on paper optically composited within the titles by ILM. Now, at the Oscars, in your documentaries, when they celebrate the work of ILM, you don't get the Mishima suicide sequence spliced in that often.
They sure don't. They sure don't. Something tells me it's pretty brutal. Never seen this movie. I think I'm going to check it out, though.
Are you really? Because if you look at the cover with Yuku with his headband on, what would you...
Yeah, headband. There's definitely an official term for it, but I don't know what it is.
And brother, it ain't headband.
It ain't headband, that's for sure.
And the look on his face, it just seems it's too stressed out for me to have time to watch.
Do you know what seppuku is?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to explain it. It's not appropriate for, probably not appropriate for YouTube.
Or me. Probably not appropriate for me.
It's a ritual suicide that samurai would do when they felt they were had dishonored themselves. And it's, buddy, it's brutal. That's all I'll say. It no good.
Should have stopped minutes ago, Hawes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hawes.
Ooh, let me add it.
Lighten the mood.
You're wanting me to do October 18th?
Yes.
October 18th. The 8-bit Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, is released, ushering in the next generation of home console gaming. The NES brings a much-needed boost to the video game industry. In Asia, the NES is known as the family computer or Famicom.
And then later on, it sounded so good, the Super Famicom.
Buddy, have you... Okay, so this is a big deal. This is a big thing, right? I love consoles design, right? Like, it's something that I'm a big fan of, right? For the NES and the Super Nintendo, we got shafted because the Famicom and the Super Famicom, their designs are way cooler, I think.
What shape is this?
That one right there?
Is that American?
That's the American, yes. I think that's everywhere but Asia, is what the NES looked like. Kind of like a... Almost like a VCR. See, what happened, right, was in the early 80s, there was a video game crash, right? And so when Nintendo wanted to bring the...
Was it Bandicoot related?
No, it was E.T. related. Yeah. When Nintendo wanted to bring the NES over to the U.S., they did their best to make it look more like...
Can I just say one thing? I just... E.T., right? How can something so good be so bad at everything else?
Right.
Like, the merchandising of E.T., like, it is just... Like, they're only sort of just... Like, when you go to Universal now, they're like, yeah, we've got a little bit of stuff. But they missed decades.
Well, and did you ever get a chance to ride the E.T. ride at Universal?
No!
It was pretty good.
Jackie said it was dope!
It was dope. So, Nintendo...
And I just so want Harry to go on it. But I am going... I'm going to Nintendo World tomorrow.
Ooh, jealous. Let me ask you. Is the E.T. ride still at Universal in Orlando? It might be.
Might it?
So anyway, Nintendo, they were real nervous because of the video game crash, right? And so they did their best to redesign the NES to look more like sort of consumer electronics and toys, right? So that's why when the Nintendo first came out in America, it came with Rob the Robot and the Zapper.
So it came with this plastic robot next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Did it actually change the games?
Yeah, you could interact with Rob the Robot in the game. There was a game called Gyromite, and there was
no, but it didn't change the cartridge for you or put a cartridge
no,
in.
No, no. So like in Gyromite, like you would do stuff on the screen and Rob would move physical blocks and pieces.
Wow.
Yeah. It sounds cooler than it actually was, but still pretty cool.
No. because I'm trying to remember if we got, maybe for the later ones, I think we got the Japanese shape and your shape's different.
So you guys definitely
maybe got, like Super Nintendo or something.
Yes. You guys definitely got the Super Famicom style Super Nintendo, right? And we got the ugly gray and purple one.
Oh, and it's quite rigid, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see it in the, like, because, you know, like now video games are like sneakers. There's like a video game, like a collectible video game shop now down mm-hmm. the end of the street on Melrose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But yeah, so this is the classic Nintendo with the, that orange gun for Duck mm-hmm. Hunt.
Yep. And Hogan's Alley and, well, honestly, there is a few games that you could use the Zapper for. Not a ton, though.
Through my life, I'm not a big gamer, but I did love arcade games like mm-hmm. For a quarter, all that good stuff, and pinball. I was never partial to the shooting games, like where you're actually holding something.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go into like the mini golf now. And kids have got like Uzis and they're yep. like, and they shake. It's, mm-hmm. it's quite
the only
traumatic.
One of those I really liked was the Terminator 2 one. That was pretty dope. Cause it was kind of, you know, the opening sequence of Terminator 2 with all the endoskeletons. It's like the,
oh yeah.
In the future. That's what the game is. And you got the gun and you're shooting at those.
Me and Harry play, a Jurassic Park one where you're in like, you sit down in a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And dinosaurs are coming at you. There is this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fishing hunting one, and you've got a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And between the rounds, these girls come out in bathing suits.
Is this Big Buck Hunter?
Maybe, but Rosebud Mini Golf. Where I grew up, picture the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Not many games in the mini golf. Mm-hmm. So Harry wanted to play that one. As one of these girls comes out, my mum walks up and just goes, this is an interesting one.
That's funny. It's like, man, that
very in, like, it's just like, I don't want to be, I it's just so, like alpha male.
Yeah, it's a little corny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my bag.
For a family putt-putt.
But that right there, the original NES, that is extremely my thing, buddy. That's where I played my first Star Wars video game, was on the NES. And it wasn't a very good one.
Was it Empire or?
It was just called Star Wars.
Okay. As far as like Atari, because Atari was before this.
Yes.
I feel like this Nintendo's the first one that still has playable games.
Yes, because listen, I respect the Atari. It's hard to go back and play those games. They're too rudimentary.
Yeah, it's just all like splotches.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Mario on this.
Perfect.
Is
yeah.
banger, all-time banger.
Mm-hmm. Castlevania, Punch-Out, Zelda, like This is the dawn of a lot of classic video game franchises that are still around today. Like, you're not getting new Pitfall games, right? But you're still getting new Mario games, new Zelda games.
Pitfall was dope, though.
Pitfall is a good game. Pitfall is dope. Like, if there's an Atari game you'll get me to play for at least a little bit, it's Pitfall. That's
those,
a good game.
Those gators. That mm-hmm. scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. Man, the black magic of running down in those caves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just time warp three stages. Oh. Who knows what's going on? All right. I will hit this one. A Battle for Endor, November 24th. The two-hour Ewoks, The Battle for Endor, debuts on ABC. A sequel to 1984's The Ewok Adventure, also known as The Caravan of Courage, Australia. It features darker tone, with the family of Sindel Tawani being killed off at the start of the film. And the gigantic ground battle with an army of evil marauders. Directed and co-written by brothers Jim and Ken Wheat, the film stars Wilford Brimley of the summer hit Cocoon as a gruff spacer.
Spacer!
Joe Johnson is the movie's production designer and second unit director, while Phil Tippett is the creature supervisor. Many of the monsters in the Battle for Endor, including a winged condor dragon and a number of dinosaur-like blurgs, are brought to life through traditional stop-motion animation. ILM's Michael McAllister wins an Emmy for Outstanding Visual Effects on the Battle for Endor. This is where we get Teek, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That little rascal.
I just remember, because this would have been, I rented this, right, as a kid. Show up at the video store. Oh, my God, there's two Ewok movies. Why didn't you tell me about this, Dad? And he's like, well, there's a reason. But you can rent them if you want and find out on your own. And I just remember how brutal the opening scene is. Because remember, they all have those, like, proto Apple watches where each member of the family has a light on the watch that represents them, and then they fade out each time one of the family members dies. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, that's brutal, because they all die.
The well, you know why?
I feel like somewhere in the back of my head I know why they killed them all off.
It was because Amanda Lucas liked Sindel the best.
Way to go, George. Good on you, man.
Yeah, that's what Mace Tawani, Eric Walker, told me on when he came on for an episode, which I think is on YouTube as well, actually. It's mm-hmm. like
it is.
It's like episode 150 or 200 or something like that. Back before, I've lost count. I've given up counting.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was so many different types of episodes. Like, on the Patreon, mm-hmm. there's like 800 episodes or something.
I know.
So, it's welcome to episode 807. So that was his prognosis for the way things panned out. And, wasn't it a bizarre fever dream, especially when you couldn't just Google stuff and you had to hire the videos? So you might only watch them, you know, mm-hmm. every 3 years, something. Teek, what a bizarre fever dream.
And Wilford Brimley and the witch, like, there's a lot of weird stuff going on here. Have you ever watched, speaking of Phil Tippett, have you ever watched that Vice documentary they did about him on YouTube? It's really good, but the literal opening scene is him going, I took a lot of acid while I was making Return of the Jedi. And I was like, oh, that checks out. That checks out, buddy. That really checks out.
He was on Marc Maron once. It was very good.
Oh, that's cool.
But it was... I don't have memories of seeing this in the cinema, although... I'm pretty sure I did. Mm-hmm. I've got
well,
very
we know dis- you saw the first one at least.
Yes, yes, because there was a couple getting to third base up the back.
Nice.
That I worked out when I got a bit more older. Very empty. But I feel like I did go to see this at the movies, but I just don't have the memory of it. But watching it, you know, in later years, killing off the whole family in the first 5 minutes.
Weird.
Brutal.
Yeah. Like, and you know what's funny? Do you remember? So it must have been... Was it just before episode 3 came out when they put Star Wars out on DVD for the first time and it had like the Empire of Dreams documentary as a bonus disc? Remember they also put out a DVD of Ewoks, the cartoon, and droids, and they put out a DVD that had both Ewoks movies on one disc, like you flip the disc. And
very expensive now.
Very expensive. It's the only way, like, that's the only way. Well, no, they're on
they're
Disney,
on Disney
Plus now. Yeah. That was the first time I watched those movies. Like,
oh, really?
When I wasn't a kid was when those came out on DVD. Okay. And I was like, yep, just as weird as I remember. And I have the disc that's mislabeled. So, like, they're labeled wrong. So you got to kind of guess to figure out which movie's going to start playing when you put it in. Really weird.
Oh, that is odd. Well, I always kept up on that stuff because the Star Walking fan club in Melbourne, when they'd have their meetings like every like 3 months or 2 months or something, they'd have a library and it would have like all these VHS, like all the movies, all the documentaries, cartoons, like edits people had made of like news articles and TV specials. So I'd always just get, every time I go, I'd bring back one tape and just grab another one and just watch that. But hey, obviously we're dry for stuff. So I'm even going, but it came up in conversation. When that trilogy came out on DVD, whoa.
Buddy. Dude, I went
The gates were open. Just that documentary. Dude, and
the night that came out, so that DVD came out the same night as also a big Star Wars game, and I'm trying to remember what it was, either the original Battlefront 2 or Republic Commando. I think it was Battlefront 2, and I went to a midnight release at a Sam Goody, which is a retailer that no longer exists, right? And I was the only one in line at midnight to get Star Wars on DVD and Battlefront. And the guy that was working was even like, well, I guess we get to close earlier than I thought, but I really did think there were going to be more people here. And I was like, well, sorry, buddy, I'm out of here. I got to go watch 3 movies and a documentary before I go to bed.
You went first in line for a giveaway or anything like that?
No, they didn't do a single giveaway. Dang. Oh, no, you know what I did? I got a Jango Fett mini bust. Now that
there
I think
go.
About it. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. That's got to be kicking around in storage somewhere. And that Empire of Dreams documentary, top tier. Top tier Star Wars documentary right there. So good.
I always think of it, the long shots of Hollywood Boulevard whenever I'm up there, because now it's so different. Like there was like a car park where you could see the cars on Hollywood Boulevard, like, which is just like hilarious to think about. Just looking at this picture of Sindel and Wicket with a bunch of Ewoks in the background, the way Warwick Davis tilts his head in
like
that
a
suit,
dog. Yeah.
Like it's just like Wicket. Wickets.
So do you know what her EU story is post Ewoks?
It's Andor's sister.
No. Do you remember when people were trying to say that maybe she was Captain Phasma in the speech. Do you remember that theory kicking around that she's going to end up being Captain Phasma? So one of my favorite things to do when I can't sleep is I'll look up an obscure Star Wars character on Wikipedia and just see. I think she becomes a journalist after the Ewoks movies. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's, if I remember correctly, she becomes a journalist.
That's delightful.
Right?
I was bracing.
She shows up in some EU books.
Really?
Yeah, she sure does.
What a scoop!
Not a big role, but yeah, she shows up a couple times.
Wowzers. When is this?
So if I understand correctly, these are before Star Wars. These are prequels.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Because didn't they at one point say they were like 100 years before? But that doesn't make sense because Wicket's there.
Yeah, and he's...
Like, he's no Grogu.
No. No, it can't be too long before Star Wars.
In my head, it was always like... Like, as a kid, it had to have been before Return of the Jedi. Because otherwise, there'd be...
Imperials.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to get her into Mandalorian season 4 in my head. I think you could do it, couldn't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. So like, well, okay, let's say this took place a year before A New Hope, right? So
that would be sick to have Mace. Oh no, Mace died.
He's dead. Oh no, what if
I was trying to get Eric a job.
So yeah, it takes place a year right before A New Hope. So that would mean by Return of the Jedi, she would be 4 years, 5 years. Yeah. 5 years older than Ewoks. And then whatever the time between a Return of the Jedi and
Mando. So she'd be about 20 for about now in the Mandoverse.
Thereabouts. Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's get her in there.
All right. I was going to suggest the actual actress, but I'm not sure about 20.
Well, they might have to cast her in like the Rey movie.
Ah, Sindel. Do you think Rian Johnson expected Broom Boy to be in episode 9?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Because he was in the Trevorrow one, yeah. Wasn't Broom Boy in that one?
You know, honestly, I can't remember. Because I remember, like, Rey gets blinded, right? So she becomes, like, that whole blind samurai type thing. Like, that whole deal.
I've totally forgotten that.
I think there's this whole thing with maybe she has, like, almost like a prologue or something where she has an academy or something. I can't remember. I just remember that General Hux lost the Star Wars.
Oh.
You remember, that's in the script. It says General Hux realizes he lost the Star War.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's in the script.
Well, I guess you can't express, like, they're not going to say that in the movie.
No. Oh, that'd be really funny if they did, though. Not in a good way funny.
Yeah, no. All right, let's hit, this is a bizarre one.
November 25th?
Yeah.
You want me to take this one?
Is it your turn? Oh, yep. Yeah. Okay, you go. Yep. Yeah.
Lawyers representing Lucasfilm meet with the U.S. District Judge Gerhard Gesell to seek a preliminary injunction stopping groups from using the phrase Star Wars in advertisements about President Reagan's strategic defense initiative. Lawrence Hefter states, Star Wars, Your Honor, is a fantasy. It's something that doesn't exist. Hefter also claims the ads which associate the film series with the missile program will cause children and parents to tend to shy away from Star Wars.
Now, speaking for myself as mm-hmm. as a child during this time, and I'm in Australia, so we're just mm-hmm. watching it. Yeah, you know, it's on the other side of the, you know, it's in Disneyland land, fantasy land. The whole Ronald Reagan's missile defense system being called Star Wars, it didn't cause me to shy away from Star Wars, but it did make me more pro missile defense system.
Right. Man, Ronald Reagan had a thing for Star Wars because, you know, he also referred to Russia as the evil empire.
Dude, branding. Love it. Yeah.
And then that led to the Rage Against the Machine album, Evil Empire, which is really good. Something positive came out of it.
Great. But yeah, I remember like hearing about it on the news and stuff and mm-hmm. just like, oh, talk about Star Wars. Like just hearing Star Wars get spoken was riveting stuff.
And I just like to imagine him sitting there in the office being like, really worried about missiles. So what if we put satellites in space that could shoot lasers and blow up missiles, like in that Star Wars movie? Can we give them some money to try and make that? Pretty good idea.
His plan does sound like an Atari game.
It does, right? Missile Command.
Missile Command, yes. Missile Command. All right, well, it's such a light period for Star Wars as we get to the end that one of the featured items, and I fear to bring it up for fear of reprisal.
Yeah,
but it's December 16th, Mafia Shakeup. Disney reporting in.
Mm-hmm. That's Bob Iger right over his left shoulder right there. Look at him. That's Bob Iger.
Golly gosh. Notorious Mafia boss Big Paul Castellino and his underboss Thomas Bilflotti are shot dead outside the Sparks Steakhouse in New York City. I like a good street murder story that makes me hungry, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
A little steak, a little homicide.
Great last meal. Like, you'd hope they'd be leaving, not going in.
Oh, that would be a bummer, right?
That's cold.
That guy on the right, he definitely just finished a good steak. Look at him.
Look at the dude in the middle with a mustache.
That's Jeez. My dad.
Fellow mobster John Gotti, who allegedly organized the hit, then takes over the running of the Gambino crime family and becomes the most powerful mafia boss of the era. John Dapper Don Gotti is known for his flamboyant style and a media profile previously unknown in the mafia. So, tough times in Star Wars news. What did they think of Return of the Jedi? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. They should really tie this in. Like, I get it. Jabba the Hutt. He's a gangster.
Was the mafia uprest due to a lack of big screen entertainment?
Could be. They went and saw that movie about the Japanese writer. Got them all fired up.
Yeah. What an odd spread of stories. Mm-hmm.
Yo, this is why this is going to be some of my favorite stuff to cover until we get to Shadows of the Empire. Ooh, I just took a little peek-see at next year. Ooh, that second page of 86 has a banger. We're not going to spoil it. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Oh,
damn.
That's a good one.
But So we are at the end, but for some reason at the end of the year, I think they were so, like, they just had so much spare space that there's just these two bizarre spreads over the page that will do whores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first one, how would have this hit you in 85? Darth Vader on the cover of Dirt Bike magazine.
I'd have wanted a dirt bike.
Is the dirt bike called Droid? Because it says Darth Vader and Droid.
It must be, right?
I don't know. Has it got a little caption?
The 390 automatic Husky's weapon for the motocross Star Wars, plus the Super Bowl in Heats, 125 USGP, and Bimbo Part 2.
Well, this is actually Dirt Bike October 1977. So that's like getting out there early with Dirt Bike magazine.
Then why is this after 1985?
Because there was nothing happening in 1985 horse. Not fair even enough. Dirt Bike magazine wouldn't have done a little meh and spun out mud at Darth Vader in 1985.
Probably. This next one. I don't like it one bit.
Is this because as a bearded man, you do not like to see your others shorn?
I just don't like that. That doesn't look right. Who is that guy? That's not who I think it is. That's not him.
It looks like someone in AI said, do George Lucas without a beard.
Right.
Just for everyone listening to the podcast, it's the cover of Disney News. And it's George Lucas is sharing his galaxy inside the Magic Kingdom.
So it's about Star Tours because they got Rex in the background.
True
Rex
that.
The droid.
Spring 1987. So at least this is still not in 85.
But still, at least era appropriate. I don't like that though.
George Lucas is freshly shaved. He's got one of the most 1987 ties I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he was in he was double booked for another photo shoot where he was bearded, and the other photo shoot wouldn't let him out of his obligations, so they had to CGI off his beard, Superman style.
It looks to me like he's about to try to sell me an IBM computer.
He looks like he wants to sell me something. He wants to sell me on his galactic future. Look at him, whores.
I don't want to. I've seen enough of it. I don't like it. I do not like it. I don't like it. Mm-mm. Not a fan. Now, come on, man. We don't. Sure.
For those listening on the podcast, he's just zoomed into George's eyes right now.
Mm-mm.
All right, whores. He's gone. He's gone,
buddy. All right, good. Whew. Bearded George Lucas can't hurt you anymore. Is bearded George Lucas in the room with us now?
You really Corey'd out on me there.
I don't like it. I do not like that George Lucas without a beard.
All right, well. Also, not even at the end of 1985, not even any also ins.
I know. They were like, oh, Lord, should we... Can we just call it like Star Wars every other year? Can we change the name of the book? Year by year, except 84 to 89?
Star Wars year by year, Ariel 36 point edition. Now, Hawes, I know you're a bit traumatized after George laid eyes on you, the chinned one himself. So I will give you the right of way to do our patented
the skip ahead.
We jump back to the future and we skip ahead to a mysterious page to read a hand-picked story.
256.
Whoa, that's chunky.
That's a big page, buddy. You'll immediately know what era it's in looking at this page.
God damn, we are in Revenge of the Sith, lava, key art territory.
Fire, tribal fire territory, worst figure packaging known to man territory.
Jeez, though, whores.
Yeah.
It features one of the toppest tiers of collectibles.
Darth Pappas? Darth Potato Head?
You idiot.
No?
Are you serious?
Oh, no. The R2-D2 cooler. I didn't even see it.
Dog. Oh. What are you doing?
That is very good. I've never seen that. No wonder it's in Japan only. In Japan, there's a specifically made R2-D2 Pepsi machine with lights and sounds. Oh my God. Read the next line. That is the next line after lights and sounds is the ultimate Star Wars collectible.
The UK's Virgin Airlines releases four Star Wars themed vomit bags. While Ziwa in Germany issues the first ever Star Wars toilet paper.
I got to get you some of those bags for Mandalorian when Mandalorian comes back, buddy.
Wow. Imagine how much that Star Wars toilet paper would be worth to a YouTuber. Imagine right. Every time they desecrate on Star Wars. Get out the another slice. Can you spare me a slice? A slice. What am I trying to say? A square.
A square, yeah. A slice of toilet paper.
Do you care to share a square, Kathleen Kennedy? Why? Another square gone. Well, that'd be a great podcast format.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. There is so much lava. So many flames.
So many tribal flames.
So many Vader masks.
You know that? I bought that. That one there on the page, the Darth Vader voice changer mask, that was one of my purchased pieces of Episode 3 merch at midnight when all the stuff came out.
Oh, the voice changer?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
2005 is 22. Without a care in the world. Used to wear it going through the drive-thru and stuff.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, man. I love that.
Oh my God. Wow, that now makes it awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought you were sitting at home going, I am your father.
No, I loved it though. I love that thing. I got that, and I didn't get any figures, but I got, what were those? Star Wars Unleashed. Do you remember those? So they were kind of like...
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
So 90s.
But I got the Anakin and Obi-Wan that connected and had like the lava going flowing around them and stuff.
Yeah. So they'd be like stylized, like 10-inch unmovable figures that the lightsabers would be like...
Mid-action.
Yeah. So they'd be drooling across. Mm-hmm. The plastic would simulate some sort of comic action. Trying to be like a McFarlane toy.
Yep, that's exactly what they were trying to be. And so I got those. I got the Anakin and Obi-Wan in their duel. I got the voice changer helmet. And I got, I did buy one 3¾ figure. And it was the deluxe one that was Vader on the operating table.
Ah, interesting.
I was like, I got to get that.
The only thing I bought a Darth Vader on card.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only thing. I went to Midnight Madness at Chadston Toys R Us. Oh. And I just got that as a keepsake because I was out of Attack of the Clones. I was done.
Killed it for you.
Not the movie. It was
collectibles.
Yeah. The toys. Yeah.
They were bad. The Attack of the Revenge of the Sith toys were better. The packaging was bad. the toys for Attack of the Clones were really bad. And I remember, so like at Midnight Madness for Attack of the Clones, I got a Jango Fett, I got an Anakin, and maybe something else, right? And I go home and I'm like, about to take these bad boys out of the package. Take Anakin out of the package and his arm comes off.
Yes!
And I was like, are you kidding me? Well, all right. I just got spoiled. I guess he gets his arm cut off.
Exactly me.
Yeah. I was like, what? It's a magnet. It was meant to happen. This is clearly a spoiler.
I'm pretty sure that was like, that batch was the last figures I bought.
Yeah, I got those, and I don't remember buying any figures until that Vader on the operating table for episode 3. I didn't seek out any more figures after that. I didn't get back into Star Wars figures until Black Series started coming out.
Well, yeah, I because they brought too much out. And so that's when I was like, I'm going to just get the vintage ones because they're never going to bring more of them out. Little did I know that after 5 years of petitioning, they'd take my idea and sort of half get it right. Half.
Three quarters, I would say.
Where's my Darth Maul, mate?
Now, that is a good question. When are they going to start doing the prequel ones?
Where's my Kylo Ren?
Also, or a Rey. Any sequel.
Vintage retro Rey.
Awesome.
Oh my God.
With the telescoping lightsaber?
Nah, they don't do telescoping.
That's right. They did when they redid Vader and Farm Boy Luke, but they don't do it for the new characters.
Yeah, when they're just copying them. Mm-hmm. I think it would be interesting if they brought out updated versions of those with the new lightsaber.
I think so too.
I would buy them.
That would be cool. Ooh. Because there's only three they have to do, right? Farm Boy Luke, Vader, Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. Boom, you're done.
You could go the other way if you wanted. But Jedi one with... Oh, no, that would be sick with the green.
Right? Telescoping green.
But with the black, yeah, it would look. I think it would look a lot. Yeah, I'd rather go the other way. I'd rather see like Darth Vader holding a lot. God, it would look so weird for a vintage Darth Vader. Although I do. Oh, actually, no, I've got one right. I literally have one standing over there because I got the retro. It must be the Obi-Wan Kenobi Darth Vader.
Oh, and they did him holding a saber instead of telescoping saber.
Yeah, and he's got a fabric cape instead of a vinyl one.
Ooh, that's cool. So that's probably the closest you're going to get to if they redid a Vader for Return of the Jedi's figures back in the day, right?
Yeah, but then like Obi-Wan Kenobi from Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's got a like a blue clip-on lightsaber. You know, like a classic, like a Bespin Luke one. And the Revel lightsaber, it's wild. A wild bit of orange, red plastic. But yeah, oh my stars, April 2005, a lot of Darth Vader imagery.
Yeah, a lot. Sith happens.
Oh, dude. Oh. Yeah, it's not to my taste.
Not mine.
I'm so sick of the Vader mask, especially in that it's not in a classic Star Wars way. It's like, this isn't your daddy's Vader.
I have two pieces of promotional material from the episode 3 era that are standees, like bigger than life size. One is for Mountain Dew in Diet Mountain Dew, and it's Yoda with his lightsaber. And one is for Pepsi and Diet Pepsi, and it's the episode 3 Vader with his lightsaber. And they're huge. Like, if I were to put them up, they'd probably almost touch my ceiling. They were in Kmart, and I managed to get my hands on them when they were done with them. And I've got them all, like, because you know how you can, like, like they get shipped flat to the stores. That's how I've got them stored right now because I don't have room for them. One day those bad boys are going to be out though. They're bad.
The art from Revenge of the Sith, it was such like what twisted the knife was that was the last Star Wars film. The promo images, they were the last new ones they put out for like, what was it, 16? Was it, how long was the gap between Revenge of the Sith and
10 years?
Okay, so not that, but like, so we just had like 8 years
and that
of Yoda with the extreme Yoda,
mm-hmm. and that goofy looking Vader with the small head. Like, that's the thing that sticks out when I put that Diet Pepsi standee together, is like how weird that Vader costume looks. Because it's the one that's kind of like, you'll know it. It's the promotional image you've seen a ton. It's almost like a side profile of Vader holding his lightsaber and his like capes blowing behind him. And just the proportions look weird. It's no good.
Yeah, well, that Revenge of the Sith one, it's like I'll see it and I'll know it's the Revenge of the Sith one. But I don't know why I know that.
Right? It's something about it doesn't seem right. Same thing with the Revenge of the Sith Chewbacca, by the way.
Oh, weird. For sure. Oh, weird. But he's meant to be younger.
Yeah, but still.
30 years. Oh, no, 20 years.
Still. Something doesn't look right about that Chewbacca.
Putting Chewbacca in was a big call.
You know, I honestly don't like, I don't mind the idea of Chewie being in it. Like, because I've always wanted to see the Wookiee home planet. Well, like, that was cool, but.
If I'm going to massage it, one of the Wookiees is Chewbacca.
But you don't point it out.
Yoda doesn't know him.
Fair enough.
Like you can give him a rah, rah line to like another rah, to another Wookiee. But I just, when it's like, oh, thank you, Chewbacca. Like, it's just like, come, bro.
Chewbacca? But even hearing Yoda say Chewbacca is a little
weird. Yeah, they're Chewbacca. Not in the same.
Yeah.
Like, galaxy. Like, they're just like, they're in the same, but they're separate just through how we've experienced them. And just joining them up, it was just like, oh, bro, it would have been so much doper if, it was just never said it was Chewbacca.
You know, unless it was in like source books and stuff. You know,
yeah, like no one goes, oh, are you celebrating Wicket? Even though I can't believe I'm complimenting the Rise of Skywalker for no reason. But in that scene, they're doing the holdover. It's why.
I'll say this.
Why? Like,
did you ever see?
Why? Sorry.
Did you ever see the, I guess it was concept art for early development stuff for Revenge of the Sith, where they wanted to have a young Han Solo on Kashyyyk as well with Chewie?
Brutal.
Thank God, right? Thank God they didn't do that. No good.
Terrible. No. All right, Hawes. We've gotten through. Next.
86.
Oh, actually, I just did the same thing. I just turned to the next page of where we were looking at in 2005 or whatever, and I'm like, oh, it's jam-packed! But, all right, well, 86. It'll be, I'm sure we'll hear about a lot of other movies, nothing to do with Star Wars.
Yeah, but it'll be like, and ILM did one special effects sequence on this movie. You know what I mean? They'll find something to connect it sometimes.
Man. ILM. Jeez. All right, yeah. So as we were saying, this is now the 30th of this exciting, rambling concept. And most of them, a majority of them, are available on video as well. But they're all there for the audio on our Patreon. So you can go through the whole thing and bro, if you're after tangents,
you're going to find them. You want to know about Carl?
Oh, dude.
Oh, boy. Dude, we got something to tell you about Carl.
Good old Carl. I've still got the slide.
There he is, Carl's corner.
Sheesh. You do think that is Carl, don't you?
No, I know that's not Carl. From what I understand, Carl was a little of a bigger guy than that Carl.
Yeah, a bit more rotund. Yeah, all those half price meals.
They'll do it to you.
They pay off in ways you don't expect. Hawes, Blue Harvest Podcast on all that and your streaming endeavors. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, check out Blue Harvest wherever you listen to podcasts. You can catch me streaming. Typically, my schedule is Wednesday through Saturday at twitch.tv/blueharvestpod. I do want to plug, there's a really big stream coming June 2nd, because that is the day that Street Fighter 6 releases, and we have a bunch of special guests scheduled to come hang out on that stream. It should be fun.
So tell me about this Street Fighter 6, Hawes.
Mm-hmm.
Is the camera moving? Is it classic? Like
still 2D, like still from the side. So it's not a 3D fighter. It's just updated graphics, controls, new characters, some returning classics, that sort of thing. It looks great.
How do you, what system is this on?
I will be playing it on PlayStation, but it's going to be on everything. So PlayStation, Xbox, PC.
How does that work with all the special moves if you change systems? Are you just like...
Well, buddy, I'm glad you asked. Because...
Oh, I'm glad you got.
I use an arcade controller.
Got you. That's right. Does that give you a fair advantage over the PlayStation controlling using public?
You know, honestly, it might. I find that most people that sort of take fighting games seriously typically have a preferred control scheme, whether that's the stock controller that comes with the system or if it's one like this. That's more like a sort of a Sega Saturn controller style, you see?
Okay. So is it just separate generations or is there like, if you're, a real fighting game person, are you, arcade game joystick setup or are you, PlayStation controller setup?
It depends. It's whatever you prefer. So I got into watching, the tournament, the Capcom Pro tournament at the beginning of this year. And all the professionals, nobody uses the same thing. Some people use arcade sticks. Some people use fight pads, which is kind of like that second controller I showed you. And some people just use the standard controller.
So the pros are going at it with their own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Because I was going to ask, do you think it's fair? Would you rather play people that are got the same joystick set up as you?
I don't really care. Whatever's comfortable for somebody to play, you know. Go for it. And even those arcade sticks like I use, they have a ton of different configurations and button layouts that people prefer and names for them. It's a whole lot to it.
Is there a setup to more easily do? I'm not sure if you're, I don't know, have we spoken about this before? But in the Hyper Olympics, remember the video game Hyper Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to push the buttons to make them run and stuff? Dude. The gnarliest bros at the roller skating rink,
mm-hmm.
for them to get, you know, a gold medal, they would get out their lighter.
And put it between the two buttons?
And go with their lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would have been young, seven or something. To have... you know, a 40-year-old who was probably 13, go up to the video game and pull out a lighter. And I was just like, this is some outlaw shit.
It is.
When I'm going to the canteen, I'm not ordering the, just a Coke. I'm getting the one with all the different flavors in it because mm-hmm. this is a place where people, they let loose.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. What an interesting look in the world of fighting games.
Yep. And when we wrap this up, I'm about to make some special modifications to my fight stick to get ready for Street Fighter VI. Because it's kind of like modifying a skateboard where you can do different wheels and trucks and grip tape and everything.
Yeah,
there's okay. all kinds of stuff you can modify in a fight stick. I'm going to put in a 4-pound spring and a couple other things. Test it out.
You're changing the spring?
Mm-hmm.
No way. I would never have guessed it was so hands-on. Are you oiling the spring? Are you stretching it first? Are you microwaving it?
So when you think about it, right?
Don't microwave it, by the way.
When you you know the lever, the actual stick on an arcade game, have you ever gone up to a new arcade game and that stick feels like nice and stiff and new, right?
Oh, baby. Or
if there's a one that's older and has been beat up, the stick doesn't seem to act like respond as well. That's brutal. All the spring. That's the spring that does that. So putting a new spring in, I'm trying out, like, I usually use a 2-pound spring. I'm going to try out a 4-pound to see if
different
I like it.
Different gauges of spring. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get a spring? Is this a stock spring from a Home Depot, or you're ordering it from Kenny's Arcade Supply?
So there's two different arcade stick vendors I use. One called Focus Attack and one called Arcade Shop.
Oh man, you know someone's serious about something when they use the word vendor.
Mm-hmm. And so Focus Attack is who I use to have my custom artwork printed for the front of my stick.
Focus Attack.
Yeah, they're cool. And I only use...
Imagine the brainstorming session. What were the ones rejected?
Focus Attack.
And then, like, let me see.
Why not go for Extreme Joy?
I got a whole bag of extra parts. There's an extra ball top from an arcade stick. I got all kinds of extra buttons and stuff. And I only went with Arcade Shop because they were the only place I could find that had green metallic buttons in 30mm.
What about this as a savings opportunity, Hawes?
Mm-hmm.
Every time you start a new game, you put a quarter in a jar.
Man, I have to go to the bank and get a couple rolls of quarters before June 2nd.
The laundromat.
Uh-huh.
They ban you. All right, that's cool. The whole tinkering is I like that.
Me and my buddy Steve and my buddy Jeff all built new arcade sticks at the beginning of the year and customized them. I helped Steve design some artwork for his and helped him sort of pick out all the buttons for the theme and stuff. And now Randy's doing one too.
Randy, really?
Yeah, for once I got to give Randy technical advice about fight stick stuff. Felt good.
Nice.
Yep. So
interesting. All right. I'm glad you're all keeping busy.
You should too. Gotta do something, buddy. Gotta do something.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. You know, you gotta pass the time between issues of Dirt Bike Monthly.
Right. Right.
Ooh.
Fight Stick Monthly. I'm going to start that. I'll sell 2 copies a month.
Yeah. You can listen to the podcast Steel Wars. A sizzle. Apparently, Corey will return next Tuesday afternoon.
Ooh.
On a YouTube and podcast after. But his work schedule's very busy. And his home time conflicts with... being kind of quiet in the house time or being able to focus on doing a podcast, even when it's like they're in another room. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. They've got to be out or out.
Out or out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's hard to schedule around the second out because it can be sporadic. But thanks so much for the patrons for supporting all the shows. And $3, you can unlock, subscribe, download all 30. Buddy, you got yourself a stew.
You sure do.
See you guys. May that force be with you.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.